This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Wing.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 81 on Daredevil Season 1, Episode 7, Stick. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, July 8th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, and the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because of really angry old men.
If you'd like to talk to us about angry old men, you can find all of our contact information on our website, legendsofshield.com. You can also find our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast, Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tumblr, legendsofshield.tumblr.com, YouTube, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com. Or you can search for Gunna Geek on the Tapa Talk app.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we are going to welcome back Wing to the podcast. We're going to talk about the Daredevil episode Stick. We're going to get an Adams S.H.I.E.L.D. mission report. We're going to talk about your weekly, actually monthly Marvel news since we've been away for so long. And of course, we'll talk about your feedback and your comments live from the chat at ChatWing. Through GunnaGeek.com/live. Wing, consultant, Mr. Executive Producer, I guess. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Am I really Executive Producer?
I don't know. No. You're the guy that started the podcast, so I guess creator?
Yeah, I would go with that. Co-creator.
Okay, co-creator.
Yes, well, I had up and beef. I do nothing alone. You know that.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Nothing. Absolutely. You're like one of those girls at restaurants that just have to go to the bathroom with somebody else. So if you're alone on a date, you have to pick out some other guy, just random guy, like a waiter or something to go to the bathroom with.
Your fantasies are your own, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. You got what I wanted to say. I'm not taking all the credit. Come on. It's like in comics, Stanley is co-creator of everything.
Yes, he
so
is.
So we're like your Jack Kirby or something, is what you're saying?
Something like that, yeah.
Where you're Jack Kirby, no, where you're Steve Ditko.
If he's Stan Lee, we're Kevin Feige. Because we reimagined it and made something new.
Wait a minute. Wing is not Stan Lee.
Well, no, he's okay. Not. But if he is,
okay,
that's the
Jack
analogy.
Kirby. Because he reimagined something and made it better? Or we reimagined something?
Who was the creator of the original Flash series? And then we're Greg Berlanti. That's a better analogy.
Okay.
Analogy. And if you'd like to hear about the original Flash series, you can listen to Crimson Comet. We're talking about it this summer.
Yes, you are. You'll hear a little bit more about that later in the podcast. But today, we're going to definitely start off talking about Daredevil and Stick. It was written by Douglas Petrie. I assume that's Petrie. It's got to be Petrie.
That's right? How I've always said it.
Okay. Who, have you taken a look at his IMDb credits?
Yeah, he worked on Buffy. I'm fairly sure that he was they got the mustard out guy from, I'm sorry, that wasn't him.
No,
he was,
that's,
however,
David
Professor
Peary.
Normal. Yeah, that's it. That's it. It was, however, Professor Normal and Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. But yeah, no, this guy, I mean, he was a consulting producer on Pushing Daisies. He was a co-executive producer on True Calling. He wrote, some not terrible episodes of American Horror Story. I don't think that was his fault, but that was just a weird season.
There was a Charlie's Angel TV show in the 2000s?
Yeah, 2011.
Very briefly.
Yeah. Oh, because that's good. That sounds weird, but I kind of like the first movie. That's after.
It was after. Wow, okay. He wrote a couple episodes of Clarissa Explains It All and Rugrats.
Mm-hmm. Pushing Daisies. Rugrats. Yeah. Buffy the Vampire.
So he has a great resume, basically.
This guy is awesome.
The man knows what he's doing.
Buffy, the Batman. Yeah. Basically, he does. Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's got a pretty good pedigree here.
And it was directed by Brad Turner, who also has an awesome pedigree. Did you see what he's done? Like all the way back to like 1987 with Airwolf.
Oh, wow. So he's directing the Shannara Chronicles, which I tried to read one once, but it was about midway through the series. And so I had no clue what was going on. And Manu Bennett's going to be in the show.
Manu!
Yes. He's, let's see, Nikita, Hawaii 5-0, Bones, Stargate Atlantis. Stargate SG-1.
And yeah, Atlantis and SG-1, an episode of Alias, Andromeda, The Twilight Zone, The Outer Limits, an episode of Homeland. So yeah, this pair was, Stephen Estenite did a great job in assembling these two specifically for this episode because, wow, it's been a couple of weeks since I watched any Daredevil because we haven't done a podcast and I've been waiting to watch it like right before we podcast, either the day before or the day of, but woo-wee, this was a good one.
Hey, you did a couple episodes of 21 Jump Street. I was just watching 21 and 22 Jump Street today because for some strange, bizarre reason, I am just suddenly, you know, seized with the urge to watch Channing Tatum and things.
Now, when I went on vacation, if you listen to Voices of Defiance, I went to Antarctica. And I did not go to Minnesota at all. Did not go to the lake. Nope. I went to Antarctica. And while I was in Antarctica, I brought some movies with me. And Jupiter Ascending was one of them. Guess what movie is still in the cellophane?
No!
I just didn't have time. I experienced some medical issues. And I watched the first half an hour of Big Hero 6 before I couldn't watch it anymore.
Can I tease something here?
Yeah.
I had some friends that came by during the weekend. And we ended up recording a special edition of Legends on Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, and you didn't invite me?
There was people in the room, and there was a recorder, and we watched a really crappy movie, so...
I'm the one who told them to watch it!
Wing, you screwed up, buddy. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, back to Stick. Oh, this is to the beginning scene. And the elevator with the, I assume it's Japanese guy. Maybe that's a bad assumption. You think it's Chinese, Japanese?
No, it's Japanese because they're talking about Yakuza at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, given a lot of the context of the rest of the episode, yes.
So, Japanese guy tries to shoot, completely misses Stick, might have not even been in the elevator. We have no idea. He gets interrogated. He gets his hand chopped off, but it doesn't matter because it's better for his family if his head gets chopped off.
Again, I pointed out when I kind of jumped the gun and live tweeted this episode a week early, but this episode's Empire Strike Back, this is this show's Empire Strike Back bit. We talked a while back about how Phase 2, since they're like, yeah, this is our Empire Strikes Back, everyone loses a limb.
It's true.
Well, yeah, everyone loses a hand, I guess, more specifically.
There's a lot of that anyway in that show, people losing limb and heads.
Yeah, but this one, it's like specifically his hand. Yeah. And they really make a point of focusing on it and everything. It reminded me of, now I don't remember what it reminded me of, other than Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
Yeah, and the other thing is that this episode is really the turning point. It's the mid-season, basically, because it's a 13 episode series.
Smack dab in the middle.
Exactly. In this episode, basically, you don't move the plot forward that much. It's mostly character development, mostly backstory, and open doors to other stories. But the Wilson Fisk story, well, they've put the black mask on the board at the end, and they introduce Foggy to Ulrich. That's it.
Well, you replace Wilson Fisk with Stick, and I'm okay with that for this one episode. It's okay. Amazing.
I'm just saying that it's a turning point in the series. Now there's a shift. The next couple of episodes will start to amp up to the finally, you have finished to build your character. Now you can play with them. So you're in your Age of Ultron, if you want, your second movie.
I will argue that Wilson Fisk was present the entire episode because you're talking about Leland facilitating the transfer of Black Sky. You're talking about the Japanese mafia trying to bring in Black Sky, all either to benefit themselves, to bolster their own strengths, I guess, because Wilson Fisk is formidable. And some of it is you got to protect yourself, but some of it, I mean, let's face it, this is the evil league of evil, and they're all looking out for number one.
Agreed. But yep. My point is that at the start of the episode and the end, the only thing that happened is there's a setback for the Yakuza. That's it.
I would say that this episode sets up more stuff for the Netflix shows at large.
But my point is there is that it's the perfect episode to start shifting a little bit. And to
now
go a little bit more supernatural, because you get exactly how he works. In this episode, you get the description of the power, like he explains to you, and you have the training. So you are in your Empire Strike Back, as you said before. You go on Dagobah and you learn how he learned, and you go with the character. And then you can move on and build on that. So the next couple of episodes, if I remember correctly, you go deeper in that training. So
Daredevil's beaten by a taser.
Yep.
Yeah. I have that in my note too.
Stick just kind of
stuck it to him.
Okay, Daredevil should not have let himself be distracted. But at the same time, given the rest of how Stick acts during the episode, you kind of get the feeling that he sort of might have done it on purpose.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Matt might have recognized the tapping, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's entirely what it was.
So that would probably distract me if 20 years later or whatever, I hear this guy coming back and having the emotions I have against how he left, I'd be like, screw that. But I don't know if that would be enough to distract me from getting tased.
But the episode point out the fact that he's too emotional, and that's how he gets distracted at that point. And that's why later Stick will leave him. So it's an echo.
Maybe.
Yeah, he gets, it's like you said, he's looking for a father figure, and Stick, for a very brief period of time, could have been that father figure, but abandoned him. So Matt has these really deep-seated anger issues around Stick. Like, he wants him to be his dad, his new dad left him. It's just all sorts of twisted up and angry. And Stick's whole point is, he's basically like a really, really douchey version of Yoda, where he's like, no, you can't let yourself be distracted by feelings or connections, and it's all path to dark side, whatever. But at the same time, we, the audience, probably feel that Matt is stronger for having those connections, kind of like how you feel with Luke, whatever. Again, I can't go 5 minutes without comparing something to Star Wars.
It's because he's fighting to keep his humanity, and Stick basically tells him to let it go. That's why he has the nice furniture and the, you know, all that stuff that Stick is saying, you should let all that go and sleep on sandpaper. So, yeah, that was really
You weird. Try sleeping on sandpaper. It's not fun. Let me tell you, the chafing. Oh my gosh, the chafing.
There you go. So, that's the interesting debate. Is that the humanity or the restlessness somewhere that is stronger? And I like the fact that in the end, even Stick doesn't know. He might be stronger for it. He might not, but maybe.
I think if they're paying attention to Matt Murdock throughout what happens in the ensuing 6 episodes with Wilson Fisk, I think the answer to that question is probably solved.
Yeah.
But that's in short term, though. Their whole thing is they're trying to think long term. So they might be like, well, he's solved this for now. But what's going to happen 5 years from now? What's going to happen 10 years from now? What's going to happen? Like, they're not so much concerned with Hell's Kitchen as they are concerned with the whole balance of good and evil.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Whereas Matt's just like, please just stop trying to screw people in my neighborhood.
So, who is that guy in the end with the cuts on the back?
We're not entirely sure. I was trying to look this up last week and back when I first watched the episode. And I'm pretty sure he's some sort of representative from Kun Lun, but it's never definitively said.
Huh.
And I can't find it anywhere.
It seems to be the back door to Iron Fist, basically.
How is that the back door to Iron Fist? Enlighten me.
This kind of cult of the dragon.
Yeah, the whole thing, and it's going to be more in, I believe, the next episode, is you find out who a lot of Madame Gao's connections are, and it's very much tied in with Iron Fist. And here, you see a lot of what Stick's introducing is this whole element of mysticism with the meditation and everything like that. And at first you think, oh, okay, whatever, he's just some weird old dude. But if you've read the comics, and especially if you've read the comics and put it together with the whole demon child and the representative from Kunlun at the end, you're like, oh no, oh, okay, wow, there's actual demons and ninjas and all sorts of supernatural things that are starting to go on. And Matt knows none of it. He's just kind of, again, please stay the hell out of my neighborhood. It's like...
It's kind of cute.
It is kind of cute. It's like you're trying to keep ants out of your kitchen while there's a wildfire going on outside.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Gotta kill those ants. I hate ants.
That's how you get ants.
That's how we get ants. So we hear that Matt's mom is another story. What do you think about that, Haley?
Okay. So the nun said specifically that, well, that's another story. But clearly she knows that story. So I'm wondering when we're going to see that nun again and when she's going to spill the beans.
Is she the mother?
No, I don't think she is the mother, but I think she knows the mother.
This would be, we had had this discussion before about there being flashbacks in the next season of Daredevil. I think this would definitely be one of the key things to bring back the flashbacks, is to talk about or discover the history of Matt's mom, and that she was probably around for a little bit, but did not want to deal with anything. I don't know. I don't know the comic story behind Matt's mom.
Oh, she's a nun.
She yep. is a nun. Okay.
She's a nun, and she didn't want to have Matt, so she had the baby and enrolled. That's it.
I see.
So, yeah, that would be an interesting story. So, with the fact that they're hinting at Elektra, that mm-hmm. could be an interesting counterpoint.
Stick's training method of just berating Matt the entire time is interesting.
Again, he's like some sort of anti-Yoda. Yoda is like, okay, stand on your head while I recite mystical fortune cookie stuff at you and kind of sort of encourage you, but not really. Whereas Stick is just outright, I'm not going to say abusing Matt, but kind of abusing him. He's hurling abuse at Matt.
A little bit.
And hitting him.
Well, you know, if you can dodge a ball, you can dodge a wrench, or you can dodge a wrench.
Other way around.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
That was a really good impersonation.
You like it? I could do it more.
It's okay. Always leave them wanting more.
But I love the training montage. It was almost a Rocky montage.
Yeah, guest 67 in the chat said, Stick displays love hurts. It's kind of true, especially... Okay, I just blanked out on it. Did Stick keep the stupid little wrapper bracelet, or did
he
Matt?
He did.
Okay.
No, he did, and he brought it back to Matt's apartment, right?
Yeah.
Oh, was it in the box that it crashed? I have the same question in my notes.
Haley?
I wasn't paying that close attention at the end.
See, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, Stick brought it back. The second time I watched it, I don't know. I think I might still looked away from the screen or something, because now I can't remember.
I was pretty sure. Oh, gosh, I can't remember exactly. But the first time I watched it all those months ago, back in April, I was pretty sure that Stick had brought it back with him.
Yeah, I'm like 90% sure Stick brought it back with him. So we do see that Stick does care for Matt in his curmudgeonly old man, I'm going to hit you and say that I don't love you way.
Yeah, it is.
But sort of, maybe. This guy has issues and probably needs therapy.
A little bit.
But he will never go to therapy because that's not the ninja way.
Yeah, but he's a good ninja.
Because he denies all of his feelings, and we saw how that ended in Star Wars. So basically what I'm saying is that he's going to have some sort of weird love affair and kill all the younglings.
No. I see that. That would be kind of a Torchwood-ish moment, right?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
So I meant to bring this up with JS over on the main Gonna Geek podcast. He has an issue with the ice cream cone scene from the first Iron Man.
Because he has no heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is my favorite ice cream cone scene ever. Ever. I mean, this is perfect.
Paint me the picture, Wing.
It just goes on this ice cream cone. What is it? Vanilla? No. And it goes describing every ingredient up to what the dog is feeling after. The way that it transitioned from the ice cream to bigger, 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 bigger thing to this man is dying.
Yes.
Was so well written. And the kid is acting pretty good. I'll be honest, I was impressed in that scene. In the combat scene, yeah, that was wire work. But in the emotional scene, he killed it. So I was really impressed with it. And again, this is movie quality filmmaking. So kudos.
It is. And Stick's disdain of love really comes out.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Crouchy old man.
She's sick. Worse. She's in love.
Just.
So while Matt and Stick are off having fun all episode, they're not the only ones getting together. I mean, we've got Foggy and Karen and Ben and Foggy and Karen and Mace and baseball bats. And it's cool.
It's funny how they tease the Foggy and Karen thing when you know it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I still love the whole, were you following me? Yeah, you were acting weird.
Can we discuss this away from the maniacs?
That was good. That was really, really good. And you know what? A really good point.
I liked that he didn't try to deny that he was following her, because I really hate when they're like, were you following me? No. And so, oh, come on. We know that you were. She knows that you were. And he just flat out comes out and says, yeah, you were freaking me out. I was worried.
Thank God he was there.
And they teased that whole thing from the beginning with the first scene back in the office when they're talking about mace and baseball and stuff like that. Yeah. And she uses her mace stick and he uses the ball and the bat. Awesome.
Well, Matt Murdock told her at the start that he would pitch at the, I don't know which game of baseball or something. He did pitch and he pitched well.
Yeah, because the Mets suck. Yeah. It's kind of an ongoing joke in New York. The Yankees are the pro team. The Mets are the junior league.
Oh, okay.
I actually know nothing about baseball.
Me neither.
They used to make me play when I was in school because I went to a really small school. So they would just stick me out in, I don't know if it's left field or right field, but the one where nobody ever hits balls. So I would just kind of wander around and look for grasshoppers.
It's usually right field for kids' ball.
Yep.
Yep. Behind the first baseman.
Yep. In between the first baseman and the second baseman.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was too busy looking at the bugs.
The gnats are terrible.
If they'd let you play infield, you could have built sand piles.
Guest 67 says, what? No more comics for Lauren until she learns.
Hey, I am a basketball person, all right? I am not good at it, but I like it.
It's because you're so tall and fast, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
So Stick lies.
Yes. Well, yes, yeah. He does.
Promise me you won't kill anybody. Promise me.
I promise.
Okay, what's Black Sky? Some kind of mutant?
Okay, Black Sky.
Inhuman, sorry.
I think he's a demon host.
Ooh.
Nice.
Okay.
Really, that cute little kid's a demon host? Dang. Good thing Stick killed him.
Yeah.
Again, they're like, oh yeah, he's a weapon and there's something there and everyone's scared of him.
But maybe if he was less enigmatic, you know, try to make an argument.
When will people learn that children are evil?
I can attest to that, being a parent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, the Matt Stick fight in the apartment. Nice.
He destroyed his whole apartment.
Well, I mean.
Well, he was really angry.
It's a nice apartment. I would like to have that. Well, except for the light in the inside. I would like to have that apartment.
Ileana RVS in the chat said, this is why I have animals. Kids are demons.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Matt can't see the apartment. So I don't know what a big loss it really is.
Maybe it smells.
That's interesting. So I'm looking up Black Sky just to be positive. I'm looking up like all these articles and stuff on the Marvel Cinematic Universe wiki. Under trivia, the maps seen by Nobu throughout the series have the characters Kurosora, literally Black Sky, on the apartment buildings his organization wanted. The same one where Elena Cardenas lived.
Okay. But anyway, that was a good fight at the dark.
Yeah, that was a good fight too. I mean, all the fights in this episode was really good.
Okay, so the fight was good. Stick does not know how to fire a bow at all.
No.
In the comics or?
In this episode watched.
Yeah, right.
Come on, you watch so much Arrow. You know that that's not how you shoot a fake arrow. You know that.
If you're going to shoot a fake arrow, you got to do it without your shirt on. That's just how it's got to be.
Man's got a point.
Stick can keep his shirt on.
It's okay. This is from Haley, who wants more shirtless seats. Yeah, Stick, now. Leave the shirt on. Mm. I like it with the shirt on.
Charlie Cox, on the other hand, he can take his shirt off a little bit more.
Especially when he's not oozing.
Right.
Usually he's oozing when he has his shirt off.
I mean, know.
Yeah, I think the next episode there's a lot of oozing going on. I'm pretty sure it's the next.
Great.
Yeah, he gets beaten a lot in this series.
Well,
I mean, he bleeds.
Yes.
This happens like a week after the last episode, right?
Probably.
Something like, it's not very long.
Because Foggy is able to move around, right? His side was basically split open by the shrapnel, and he's able to move around and stuff now. And
yeah.
Daredevil isn't as beat up as he was. I mean, he was really beat up last episode. That was some harsh beating that he took.
Yeah, but now we know that he meditates and he eats faster.
Yeah, but he wasn't that good at it because... Oh, something that I caught that cracked me up was... And again, this is a little bit skipping ahead to the next episode. But in the flashback, when Stick says, all right, tomorrow we'll move on to knives. And then Stick leaves. So the next episode, what is... Okay, well, not even the next episode. Just continually. What does Daredevil keep getting attacked by?
Knives.
I get it.
Right?
He missed knife day.
Exactly. He missed knife day.
Also taser day, probably.
Well, yes.
Yes. Nice bull.
Tasers probably didn't exist back then.
Yeah. When did they... I don't actually know when they invented tasers.
You know, I did some research into tasers for a podcast.
Why?
No, it was for a podcast.
For science. I don't get off his back.
I don't remember which podcast it was.
I did some research on taser with my children. I mean, podcast. Yeah, right.
No, I've been using cattle prods for quite some time, but it was two guys that wanted to do, it was space related. It's got to be Voices of Defiance that I did it for. Anyway, it was two guys that were hired by NASA to develop a non-lethal form of peacekeeping. So instead of a gun, they developed the taser. And it didn't really take off until, I want to say, the late 80s. So tasers really haven't been around all that long.
Wow. That was a piece of knowledge.
All right. Now I have to, Google it. Yeah. It says that NASA began developing it in 1969, which he named after... Oh, yeah. I did know this.
Yeah. His friend?
Tom... No, it's... Yeah. Childhood hero. Tom Swift's electric rifle.
Right.
See?
There you go. SP gets all rocket science-y, and everybody in the chat can have their drink. There you go.
Can I have my drink?
Anytime.
Okay. Anytime. Yay.
So the whole Ben thing keeps up the fact that they're investigating the same thing that Daredevil is investigating, plus they're investigating Daredevil. And oh, by the way, we didn't talk about it, but at the beginning of the episode, Foggy has this whole rant about how he wants to slap Daredevil a new one.
Yeah, and Matt's there but not really, right? Just in the thinnest of veiled attempts to defend himself there.
Well, I like how Matt just does not answer the question. He basically works his way around and he's like, yeah, okay, I'm good.
It sets up that scene that we're going to see, is it next week or the week after, of Foggy and Matt coming to terms with the reveal.
I think it's not next week, it's the week after.
Okay.
Yeah, he needs to take a big beating before that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. There's much oozing, and then there's the making up.
Because he's on the couch for that entire episode. He can't move.
Yes. He's oozing.
All right. You guys have anything else to say about the episode? Any likes, dislikes, anything that we skimmed over?
When I first saw the episode at the very end, when we see Stick talking, and we see the incense, we see that guy's back, and I just went, because I am positive, and so is apparently the entire rest of the internet, that that guy is some sort of representative from Kunlun, and it's going to all tie back into Iron Fist. And that's when I realized, oh man, this is where they're introducing the supernatural side of Marvel. They're not waiting for Doctor Strange, just like they didn't wait for the movies for the Inhumans. And it just, serious shiver right up my spine. And I was like, oh man, this is amazing. This is my favorite episode.
It's happening.
It's happening!
My favorite little moment of the episode is when he goes to attack the accountant, and the guy's like, what do you want, my wallet? Come on!
Just so...
Yeah, he's trying
to... Doesn't care.
My wallet? I just cracked.
So Adam in the chat asked this question. He said, did you talk about how Punisher should say the same line Stick did about Matt's conditions for teaming up?
Yes. Agreed. Go right for the show. We'll cut you a check.
And then Guest 67 says, but tasers give a crackling noise right after release. He should have heard it. Yes, he should have heard it. But I think we've explained that we think it's his emotional divide about being distracted by Stick. And oh, by the way, he just broke up with his girlfriend. So, I mean, the guy's a little emotional.
Tell him to suck it up.
Was she hot? How would I know? You always know.
So, Haley, what you got?
Okay. Punch him in the face. With my fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs.
Hottie McBurner phone.
Ooh.
Let's see. That's not really a good one.
Come on, make it clamorable.
Shush. An old guy just lit you up. You ain't taken care of. Beep. There are no heroes, no villains, just people with different agendas.
Interesting.
And then this part was in Spanish. which I'm not going to speak because my Spanish is terrible, but this is the translation they gave. I live like this, and that fat blank is lying on a beach.
Oh, I love that part. I love that part. And then she's getting all mad at Karen for, well, not mad, but she's just admonishing her for cussing in front of Jesus. And then she says that, and then she's like, sorry, Jesus.
My bad.
What about being a badass? Badass? I was like, yeah.
I wouldn't mess with Mrs. Cardenas. She could mess you up.
No.
That's the thing about old Hispanic women. They will mess you up. They have no compunction about messing you up. This is why I look forward to being a little Mexican grandmother.
I look forward to that too.
Just hit people with my sandal and ask, like, take no crap.
At that point, we're going to do video. Tell me at that point, we're going to do video.
Sure. We'll do video. I think we'll have to do video.
You're like Toph.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. They don't know what we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, guest 67 with the purse and the chancla. Fear the chancla.
Oh, Ileana RVS is calling you out, Lauren. She says, what? Why wait?
Because people are less forgiving of people in their 20s and 30s smacking people around.
That is actually true.
That's true. Unless you're doing Jackass.
We won't be doing that.
Right. Okay. It was a really good episode. I have not been ordering, like we do with the MCU, I have not been ordering these in my favorite to least favorite or whatever. I could just say I enjoy watching every single episode and it's fantastic. It's either suspenseful, dramatic, very action-packed. It's just, it's good. Every single episode is good, but this one was particularly good because I like the flashbacks. I don't know. I'm just drawn to them. I like them.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely. So you guys got anything else to say about Stick?
He's kind of a douche.
A little bit, but, you know, in that good grandfather way, I guess. Maybe.
But also, I liked that he's played by... Of course, I blank out on his name right now. He plays Jack Crawford in Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne?
No, the other... Lawrence Fishburne took the role because they worked together in Apocalypse Now. And they were like... He kind of took Lawrence Fishburne, who was very young at the time, under his wing. So he took that role in deference to guy whose name I suddenly can't remember.
Scott Glenn.
Scott Glenn! Yes.
I loved him in The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
One important thing we didn't talk about is that he gets in Sticks. The signature stick that you see on every freaking cover.
I don't need them. Yes, you do.
You will. You will.
I love... This is, I think, where... This episode, Your Right Wing, is the turning point where we start to see Daredevil. We do see the show come together. We do see the bigger Marvel Universe start to come together. And we see Daredevil come together in that he starts to get the sticks and he starts making the move toward becoming the Daredevil that we know and... most cases love if we read the comics and like him.
Yes, and
I'm assuming that we like him.
Yes, we do.
I mean, some people don't like characters, but I like him.
At the start of this episode, you have a cover of a newspaper with what's the title is? The Devil of Execution, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're starting to get the persona out there a little bit.
Right.
They're teasing us.
Well, Devil was mentioned in the very first episode. Right, because the Murdochs are devils or something like that.
They got the devil in
them. They got the devil in them.
Yeah, so it's been in the series since the beginning, but we haven't seen the name Daredevil yet.
Not yet. But he's making the newspaper now.
Definitely.
Ooh, cover page. Uh-huh.
All right.
Collectible. Uh-huh.
It's like a Kardashian.
Ooh. No, not like a Kardashian.
Oh my God, a Daredevil sex tape.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Maybe.
I mean, think about who he'd have a sex tape with, Wing.
Okay. Fair point.
Foggy.
Isn't there a story like that with Daredevil? Not Daredevil, but Karen. Karen turns into a porn star for a while.
I'm liking this.
Yeah, she does turn into a drug addict porn star.
Yeah. I think in this show, though, that's her past.
I think so, yeah. Because she keeps saying, oh, I have these, you know, my past.
Right, because, you know, she would be an unreliable...
I think that's going to be explored next season.
Yeah, an unreliable witness and whatnot.
All right. So, just to let you know, in a week and a half, we will be discussing Ant-Man. It'll be the Sunday after it comes out. It's coming out on Friday the 17th, so we'll be discussing... Or the Sunday after it comes out. It'll be coming out on Friday the 17th. We will be podcasting on the afternoon of the 19th. Stay tuned for a time. It should be somewhere between 2 and 4 Eastern. So we will be lighting you up for some little superhero action.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
Which
The first two gays are coming in.
Yeah, they're coming in and they're really positive.
Yep.
Now, as do people will see the movie? Because we've seen that people were ready to see Dinosaur. Let's face it. That's nobody saw that coming.
Nope. But nobody did.
Now, can Ant-Man do that now? Or something crazy like that.
So, Wink, do you want to revise your opening weekend Star Wars prediction at all? Or you still feel comfortable with what you went with?
I'm still comfortable with what I went with.
All right. All right.
I still think that the overall will be crazy, but
it will.
First weekend, I don't think it's going to be what people
expect. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, Haley's 300, right?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
You understand that there's not enough theater.
Yes, there is, because it's opening on a Wednesday. So opening weekend is Wednesday through Sunday, and Wednesday and Thursday night, they're probably not going to show anything but Star Wars.
It would have to be that, not anything but Star Wars. They won't do that.
Wednesday night, they're not going to show anything but Star Wars. What else are you going to show when Star Wars is opening?
What's that stupid Christmas movie with...
Nobody cares.
No. Okay.
Fair enough.
But I still think there are going to be other movies in theater that day.
Okay.
Not on Wednesday night. There's not. Because I've been to like Avengers opening weekends before at theaters, and that's all they showed was Avengers on every single screen.
But the theater that you go to only has two screens.
Yes.
No, shut up. No, I've been to bigger theaters, like 16 screen theaters, and all they were showing was Avengers. They just had staggered start times every 15 minutes. They would open like another four theaters.
I mean, I have access to 48 screen in a 4 kilometer radius, so they're not only going to show Star Wars.
I bet on Wednesday night they will. I bet at least 40 of those screens are showing Star Wars.
Yeah, I have to agree with Haley. It's just going to be a madhouse. We'll see. We've got Ant-Man, like I said, in a week and a half. We'll be podcasting that following Sunday, so the 19th. All right, you guys ready to get into some comics?
Yep.
Let's do it.
This wonderful Daredevil bump brought to you by Keir. All right.
Okay.
So what we have for you today, I didn't get a chance to tell Neil, we kind of changed our schedule. So we have no Marvel moment for you, Mighty Marvel moment by Neil. But we do have the return of Adam with the S.H.I.E.L.D. mission report. You guys ready to listen to it?
Yep.
Here we go.
This is Consultant Black Adam with your mission report for S.H.I.E.L.D. Issue 7. Issue 7 features familiar faces as both the guest hero and guest villain for the episode. Coulson assigns Daisy Johnson to lead a S.H.I.E.L.D. team to capture her father, leading to her first meeting with him since she was an infant. Capturing Dr. Zabo is particularly important for her at this moment because Daisy's powers have gone haywire, causing damage to her entire body in the same way she broke her arms in the show. Cal wants to help his daughter, but when his idea of how to help her goes to extremes, Coulson has to take a big risk to stop him. I liked the story in the issue, but a lot of that was probably due to the way it paralleled the last half of the season. It was definitely a much better tie-in than the lame excuse that Coulson gave to call Daisy Sky several times in the comic. This is my first exposure to Mr. Hyde in the comics, and while there are a lot of differences, there are a few places in both the art and the dialogue where I could definitely see Cal from the show. Fitz gets a small opportunity to shine, but he's definitely gotten the least development of the four main characters in the series, and looking forward, that doesn't seem likely to change in the next couple of months. Now, on to the news. S.H.I.E.L.D. Issue 8 releases July 29th, 2015, and here's the solicit. Agent May and Mockingbird, together against a band of superpowered monstrosities whose souls must be found and returned to them if S.H.I.E.L.D. is to survive. I'm guessing from the description that this is a tie back to some characters who disappeared during issue 6 last month, but we'll have to wait and see. The S.H.I.E.L.D. one-shots that are coming out in September are going to have variant covers that look like action figure packs for various characters. The Mockingbird one-shot will have an Agent Coulson action figure variant cover, while the Agent May Cavalry one will have Agent May. The Nick Fury one will have a Fitz and Simmons two-pack cover, and the Agent Carter one and Quake ones will have, well, the characters you would expect them to have. Talk to you next month for my next mission report.
Woohoo! Thank you, Adam. That was great.
Yay.
I actually got a chance to catch up with some of the S.H.I.E.L.D. comics while I was on vacation with my iPad mini. And I got to say, with the iPad mini, you can go either full screen or do that panel by panel thing.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, either works. It's pretty cool.
It's so great. As long as in comic news, Han Solo doesn't have another wife, I'm okay.
Tune in to find out.
No.
All right. Thank you very much, Adam. And with that, we're going to get on to some news. Woohoo! Before we get into news, though, I have to say that we are part of a wondrous network, and every single one of us on the podcast are in the throes of other podcasts or thinking about starting other podcasts or whatever. And our very own co-host, Haley.
Me?
Produces her own podcast. I never thought that would happen. I'm very proud of you, Haley.
Thank you. Thank you.
But recently, you released an episode, episode 28 of The Crimson Comet, on the Flash commentary. How'd that go?
Yeah, we started watching the 1990s Flash series, and it is a show that was on the air in the 1990s. That is the quality it is. So we did a live commentary of the pilot, which was an hour and a half long, and there are all sorts of gems in there. We talk about how super 90s the show is. There's lightning-based superpower origins, there's biker gangs and murals and all sorts of colorful lighting, and we had a great time trashing on all of it.
Trashing? Oh, come on.
Kinda, yeah.
I used to watch that show.
Not a bit of nostalgia? The suit was so cheesy. It was like molded out of Batman. It was so
molded
weird.
Out of Batman?
Allah.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to understand him when he speaks French with a Canadian accent.
Girls got a point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like picturing Flash wearing an outfit that's like somebody ran over Batman with a steamroller and he's just kind of wearing it like a coat.
Wow. Okay. That's a visual I ever thought I would have in my life, but okay.
So if you want to go ahead and watch the episode during the commentary, you can pick up the Flash 1990 series from Walmart. You can stream it from Amazon Prime. There's a lot of different ways you could do it and listen to the podcast.
I have to advise against spending money on it.
So Amazon Prime it, basically. Okay. So this week, actually for the last few weeks, I think it's been about 3 weeks since we've been behind the mic. And there's been some news. I think Marvel took a little holiday around the 4th of July, which is great. And Canadian Day, too, by the way. Congratulations, Wing. You guys kind of copied us for another year, so that's pretty cool.
Hey, we use that day here to move. That's it.
It's moving day?
It's moving day. Seriously, all the leases end on the 1st of July because everybody has a day off to move.
That's Memorial Day here. We created a whole weekend at the beginning of the summer so that we could do that.
Except now everybody goes out in the river and drinks.
Yeah.
Or the lake or whatever body of water is nearby.
I don't see a problem with either, really.
It's because you're not moving that day. That's it.
No, I've decided to get on a schedule where I move in December every year. It's great. Oh. It's not freezing cold or anything.
That's a great idea. Why would you do that?
At least you wouldn't sweat so much.
Yeah, well, usually people move in, what, May and August when it's 8,000 degrees outside?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, 1st of July, it's really hot or rainy like this year. It was great moving day today, this year.
So anyway, Marvel decided to take a little holiday, which was great. So it was DC that moved out of New York, right?
Okay. Yes.
So DC moved, but Marvel stayed. And in celebration, Marvel took a couple of days off, which is great because we don't have to go through so many stories. But we do have some news for you, including our very own Haley Atwell is talking about Howard Stark's return.
Yes, the Mary Sue has an article talking, I love, well, the link title, Queen Atwell. And she confirms that Dominic Cooper is returning for season 2 of Agent Carter. And then she did a little bit of talking about Cartonelli, which is the shipping relationship between Peggy and Angie Cartonelli. And somebody asked her if a romantic relationship between Peggy and Angie could happen in second season. Atwell replied, why not? So yeah, James Darcy is going to be coming back as Jarvis, and we're getting Enver Jokai's character, Sousa.
Sousa.
Yes. So, yeah, the gang's mostly all getting back together, and they're going to Hollywood, and it's going to be happy fun times.
Is Sousa's Kane coming back with us?
Probably, but we're not sure about the sweater vests.
Hmm. We'll have to stay tuned for that.
Yeah, stay tuned on the return of Sousa's sweater vests.
This year.
So something that I saw pasted all over social media, I mean, like, literally all over social media, and I don't have a problem with it, really, is that we have a casting for Elektra. What do you think, Wayne?
That's a really good casting. I mean, she looks the part.
Who is it?
Elodie Young.
Elodie Young.
Y-U-N-G.
Okay.
Who I have never heard of before.
She was in G.I. Joe Retaliation, which I did not see.
Me either.
I saw that.
Of course you did.
That was not very good.
She was Jinx.
Oh. See, I enjoyed Rachel Nichols in that, and I also enjoy her in Continuum, but nobody else enjoys Rachel Nichols.
Wait, Jinx is a ninja that wear red's color. So, yeah, okay.
So, typecasting, yeah, all right.
At least a little bit.
No, but I'm...
Just saying.
I'm willing to give her a shot. She does look the part. She looks pretty cool. We'll see what they do with her. We'll see if they keep the weird red bathing suit costume.
They have to.
Not necessarily.
No.
Really?
No, it's not really practical for a ninja.
No, they could give her, like, pants.
Yeah. They could give her something where you could actually, like, blend in and be a ninja.
Yeah.
Well, but pants are no pants. I mean, we had that conversation a lot.
I have a daughter who's a dancer, and she does not like to wear pants because that constricts her movements, so...
I'm just saying something besides a loincloth.
I'm fine with the loincloth. Hey, if you want your shirtless scenes, I want my loincloth scenes.
Yeah, but I'm not getting my shirtless scenes, so you don't get loincloth scenes.
Oh, man. Marvel, shirtless scenes. Come on. Let's go.
I don't agree with this deal. Can we discuss that?
Anyway, so we do have an Elektra confirmed for Daredevil Season 2. It's going to be fun. We also, we don't even have a date for this yet. We're assuming it's December, but we have some Jessica Jones. We used to say AKA Jessica Jones. We don't anymore, but we have some Jessica Jones set photos.
Yes. So naturally, I'm just squealing at this point.
I don't hear it. Interesting.
Ow.
That was a squeal.
You know, we haven't gotten a Science Babies this episode either. I was thinking about that.
No, we haven't.
Because we haven't talked about them.
I guess Fitz and Simmons in the comic variant, which, yay, Science Babies. There.
Woohoo! Got it.
So, okay. According to SuperheroHype.com, why do I say according to? It's on there. They have the pictures. They've got pictures of the set, and it's mostly Kristen Ritter in kind of the same outfit that we've seen her in before, except this time there's more blood. And yay!
More blood!
So, yes, just more evidence that it's happening and that it's coming up soon and hopefully sooner than next year. I would like it to be much sooner than next year.
2015. Yep. Not 2016, 2015.
Yes.
So, I didn't know this. Daredevil is actually filming right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Daredevil's already shooting as well, so they were ready to turn over. They knew what they had there, because that's crazy. The pre-production should be longer than that. I'm either afraid or they're really well planned.
Well, they only did 13 episodes, and any of the other superhero seasons are fuller seasons on TV, right? 20 episodes or something like that. So I could see them having the story laid out for two or possibly three seasons, at least in sketchy storybook form or whatever. So I can see, even though Stephen S. DeKnight is no longer involved in the project, that they already have the story to go with for the next 13 or whatever episodes.
I just hope they don't go like, yes, we're established, and just go nuts. Because look at what's happening in the next season now. We have like Punisher and Elektra and Bullseye. Woo, okay, don't screw up.
Yeah, I was talking with Scott about that at dinner yesterday, and I'm hoping that it'll be one of those things where they'll have a much more limited focus, and we'll do something kind of along the lines with what they did with the Evil League of Evil, where we have the one big focus, and the other characters kind of come in and out as needed.
Hmm.
Hopefully. Like I said, there's a way to do that very, very well. Don't screw it up. Don't go too fast. Take the time you have to take to make good script, because that's what works.
Well, we only got Stick for one episode in this season, first season of Daredevil, right?
True.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, they were laying out like big plans. Yeah, we know that they probably have a roadmap, but I'm just saying a roadmap and a script are two different things. Don't rush it.
I'm just wondering if Daredevil got a season two, what are the odds of all of the Marvel shows getting picked up for additional seasons? And then we've got four regular series on Netflix plus the TV series. That's a lot of material.
Well, the problem at this point is that I don't have enough hour to watch everything. I mean, next year we're going to have, what, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl.
Yeah, but it's going to be weekly, right? So
Legends of Tomorrow.
So the way they figure it is weekly, Gotham. You can watch these programs on a week-by-week basis, right. And then on your
and
weekends...
And then quarterly, you binge on a Netflix series.
Yeah.
But still...
And then biannually, you watch a Marvel movie, and then biannually, you watch a Marvel-based movie.
Sometimes I like to play a video game, too.
I know.
There, you know.
I need to get video gaming again. Dang.
You know, Batman is angry again. There's things like that, you know, many hours in a week. Not that much.
Wait a minute.
Much.
Did you get an Xbox One?
No.
Okay, so you don't have Batman Arkham Knights yet.
No, I have a new philosophy with video game. I'll buy the console like in 1 or 2 years, and all these games will still exist, and I will still enjoy them, and they will
be
cheaper.
Yeah, that's my dream. Although I think with Halo and Mass Effect coming out, I think I'm going to have to pull the trigger.
Do you think if a Mass Effect game, I'm not going to buy a console that day?
There you go. Wings rope now broken. Mass Effect comes out, he gets the thing.
Yeah.
All right, so Ant-Man comes out a week and a half from, actually, what, 8 days, 9 days, whatever, from when we're recording this.
I can't count.
Mets are hard.
But we have some Ant-Man news coming up soon, right?
There was like 5 minutes out there today.
Yeah. I don't think it's as bad as pre-Avengers, where we were getting a new TV commercial every 3-4 hours.
No, it's not that bad. What this is, I saw this, I guess, sometime last week. Somebody linked it on Tumblr, and I was like, ooh, this is real. There's a YouTube channel and an official Twitter account for WHIH with your anchor, Christine Everhart, whose name you might remember as the reporter that Tony Stark slept with and who just keeps showing up.
Is it the same character? I mean, it's the same actress?
No, same actress.
Oh, I like her.
The chick from Popular.
Yeah, she's fun.
That was great.
And she's talking about the aftermath of the Avengers in Sokovia and coming up an interview with whistleblower and cyber criminal Scott Lang. And it's just kind of dropping information a little bit at a time. So I kind of dig how they're doing that.
That's awesome.
Well, right now they have to because they know that for the next week or so, they don't have any coverage because Comic-Con's going to kill.
Yeah, and they're not going to Comic-Con.
Yeah, they're not going for Comic-Con because they know that they need all their effort right after it for this movie. But on the other hand, they're leaving space for like Star Wars and all that stuff, and that's going to be big.
You know, I watched Captain America, the First Avenger at Comic-Con. I didn't actually watch it at Comic-Con. We went to a theater, I don't know, 5 miles away or whatever to watch it. But that is not the time to be watching a movie. That is the time to be enjoying the ambiance, be walking the floor, to be going to panels, to be having fun with friends, playing games in the hotels that flank the convention center and stuff. It's not the right time to launch a movie, so I'm glad that Ant-Man is not launching that weekend.
Yeah, that's a great idea. But I think that the reason why Star Wars announced that they would not release a trailer right now, that's another thing. They're trying to balance the marketing they have between these Star Wars and these Marvels and all that stuff, because they have lots of the same demographic in there. So they need to keep the focus on Ant-Man as soon as Comic-Con is over. If they start talking about Civil War like a week before, and this movie, we can say whatever. Right now the review is coming out and it seems to be good, but this is one of the risks for Marvel. This is one of the more risky projects than a Civil War or Avenger or something like that. They don't know what they're going to get out of this.
Well, I mean, we had the same thing last year with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Yeah, but 1 year. That's good.
Yeah, but Guardians of the Galaxy had the same director and writer all the way through.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
But my point is that they're doing like one or two safe and they're doing one experiment. That's their pattern right now. And it's a good pattern because that's how we try new stuff and we have raccoons that dogs that are cool.
Yes.
Which still sounds weird, but that's a nice way for Marvel to try kind of experiment.
I don't think Ant-Man was supposed to be one of the risky ones, though. I think it was supposed to be a safe one, and they've just had a string of terrible behind-the-scenes things that have led to terrible press, and that's the issue. Ant-Man should be safe, because it's a Spider-Man copy. It's almost like Daredevil.
Yeah, but the other thing, I was talking to friends that are not geek, and I was talking about Ant-Man, and they were like, Ant-Man? I was like, yeah, he becomes really small. Like, you know, the family that becomes really small? Yeah, but with some action? Okay. I was like, I can see why this is what Do you know Thor? Oh, yeah, he's hot. I was like, okay.
Right, but how many of those same friends knew Thor before Thor?
I did
not. As a comic book character. Or Iron Man.
They don't know Thor. They know Chris Hemsworth.
Right.
I didn't like Thor until Thor 2, and I didn't really get into the universe until we saw Loki in Avengers. So yeah. That's just my experience with it. Now, Haley, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was you that mentioned that Marvel was toying, when they first began this journey back in 2006-07, they were toying with starting with Ant-Man versus Iron Man, and they went with Iron Man instead. Did I get that right?
No, it was Ant-Man instead of Hulk.
Oh, okay.
So it would have been Iron Man and Hulk as the first two.
Okay.
Or Iron Man and Ant-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would have been fun, but I like my Hulk movie that I got.
But I can't wait. I'm going to spend tonight watching this YouTube channel because I'm going
to... Yeah, there's only two videos and one is like 30 seconds long. The other one's about a minute and a half. And then there should be another one up tomorrow at, I guess, 6 Eastern or Pacific or 6 sometime or other.
See, if Marvel really had their stuff together and kept one director throughout the entire filming process and everything, I think maybe instead of doing these short YouTube videos, they should have done a bunch of clamors. That would have been awesome. Okay, moving on to Deadpool. I guess we have some supporting cast photo shoots, right?
Yep, comicbook.com has a bunch of pictures, the supporting cast in costume. The one that I'm most excited about, because I never in a million years would I have pictured this character making it into the movies. Okay, when I first kind of stumbled back into comics, the first 616 comic that I picked up was the trade paperback of New X-Men, E is for Extinction. And it starts off with Emma Frost teaching a class in Genosha, and this one kind of gothed up looking mutant talks to her and says, "We're all going to die." That mutant's name was Ellie Fimster, a.k.a. Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And she dies, like, immediately after.
Aww.
So, this character is now in Deadpool.
Huh.
Blah, blah, blah.
I was flipping through the news, I guess, a couple days ago. And I saw this, and I'm like, wait. Who is, what? Huh? What? Who? And I looked, and my brain just kind of shorted out. And I just flashed back to 2001, 2000, whatever year it was that I picked up that book. Because this is like an extremely minor character at the time. She showed up again, I think, as some sort of like techno-organic corpse in Necrotia.
Yeah, but that's kind of fun, though, because...
It is! I love it!
They can do whatever they want with this character.
Seriously!
Now. And Deadpool need to be able to do whatever he wants in this movie. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with this, because this could be... best thing that happened to comic book movies since X-Men or totally forgettable.
Yeah, it's...
That's the step.
It could be a lot of fun. So, yeah, there's... I mean, other than her, there's a bunch of other people. Marina Baccarin is in one of the pictures, and she looks good as usual. But this is making me so happy.
It's going to be great. Can't wait to have some Deadpool.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to get... Like, well, not starting to get. I've actually kind of been... Oh, and there's a picture of non-cancerous, weird-looking Ryan Reynolds with Marina Baccarin, I'm guessing pre-signing up to be Deadpool. And he's wearing a Rent t-shirt, which amused me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping maybe we'll get some musical theater Deadpool.
What?
Well, in addition to that, Deadpool is hitchhiking to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, he is. We have the picture evidence to prove it.
That's really cool. The marketing for Deadpool has been top-notch. The April Fool joke that they did with the commercial, the interview where chop the head of the interviewer was amazing. If they can keep that tone in the movie, it's going to be so fun. Because the Mexican hat, seriously?
Chimichangas!
Comic-Con, por favor!
Yeah. He's wearing the serape and a sombrero. It's...
Una cerveza, por favor!
It's going to be great. I really hope it's going to be great, because this marketing is really good.
Yes. Ryan Reynolds is going to be awesome in that. He's born to play this, not Green Lantern.
Well, okay.
No. Don't defend Green Lantern.
Okay, I'm not going to defend it. I'm just going to say I had fun watching the movie.
That's defending it.
It's not defending it. I just had fun. I've only saw it once.
Good boy.
Okay. So, another thing I probably will be seeing more than once is the fact that Marissa Tomei has been offered to play Aunt May in the new Spider-Man.
Variety.
You say yes.
Yeah, Variety is basically saying that no, she has not accepted as of today. Today being the day that we are recording, July 8th. What's today?
Yes.
The 8th.
Yes. Good job.
I don't remember time. But
you remembered. Yay.
Yeah, but it seems like kind of a given, I guess.
Come on. What is this she doing these days?
I don't know.
I don't actually know.
We were talking about this before the cast. For 12 hours, Jason Statham was it for Bullseye. He was going to be in, and then it didn't happen. And the whole thing with Doctor Strange casting. So I'm not going to count eggs too much in this Marissa Tomei basket, but I'm really liking this. I like her. I think she'd be good in it.
She's all right.
Well, I mean, considering the previous Aunt May casting, I think she'll pull it off great.
It's another case of don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Because, come on. We've been at this Spider-Man thing since 2001 at this point.
Yep. And also, what? We have another director change with Black Panther?
Well, it's not so much a director change as it's the person that everyone thought was a shoo-in turned Marvel down. Ava DuVernay, who you might know as having directed Selma this past year. Everyone was like, oh man, she's in talks to direct Black Panther. She's going to direct Black Panther. It's going to be great. And she seemed really excited about it. But on Friday, she said she's not signing on to direct. And quote, I think I'll just say we had different ideas about what the story would be. Which one Twitter account that I follow said, I think I can picture how this meeting went. Ava DuVernay, Afrofuturism and technology and all this stuff in Marvel. We want to talk about Infinity Stones, Ava DuVernay, by then. Which I do kind of think that, oh, I would have loved to see her direct a Black Panther movie. I think that that could have been cool, but yeah.
But I kind of like this news in some ways, because if you think about it, who was supposed to direct Wonder Woman? And then 3 months later, she was like, yeah, we're going to have like Attack Panthers. And DC's like, no. And they're like, okay, now we're parting ways for creative differences. Don't waste 3 months. Okay, no, you see, I don't want to do that. Okay, cool. We'll call you back maybe one day.
Right.
I will say that I think at this point, Marvel has gotten so focused on their overarching story that they're sacrificing a little bit for the individual films.
And I think we're seeing that, like, there was an interview with Alan Taylor the other day talking about his experiences directing Thor 2, where he was saying, yeah, I was under a lot of constraints in that one. And there was, of course, Joss Whedon and Edgar Wright talking about the constraints they were under.
I wonder if it'll change when Kevin Feige eventually leaves, because he's on a time clock now, right? 2018?
Or at least when they get through their Infinity War story.
Yeah.
Yeah, because let's face it, at that point, you have the perfect opportunity to push the reset button.
You don't have to hit the reset button. You can go to smaller stories.
Yeah, or something like that. But what I'm afraid right now is that we're having serialized TVs on the big screen for hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that they're creating these things. And the best of these movies, the ones that works the best usually are the ones that stand on their own, where you don't need that background. I would say maybe that exception to that rule was maybe Winter Soldier.
Right. But we have different opinions on Avengers 2, granted. But you got to admit that Chapel fight scene in the floating city, you wouldn't have gotten that in serialized TV. That had to be in a movie.
I agree, but on the other end, we're sacrificing certain scene because they need their Thor bat scene that everybody's like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
And even just with us like, yeah, it was this or that, and I went with that because I'm not losing.
Farmhouse of sexual tension scene.
And that was some of my favorite part of the movie. So this is where I'm afraid that they might lose people, and that's where I'm afraid that DC's bad right now a little bit, because it's Batman is in everything right now.
Well, okay, so DC has split their TV and cinematic universes, which, in your opinion, could ultimately benefit them down the road.
Agreed. That I totally, totally agree. But my point is that everything that we've seen, they're trying to interweave before they have a universe instead of building out of something solid. I don't want to say like Marvel, but building out of something that works. Right now, we're building out of a movie that is controversial, because I would say Man of Steel is controversial, in a movie where we're banking a lot of Batman and Superman against each other. But if the movie doesn't stand on their own, they're going to go see that one, and they're not going to care on the other one.
Well, we'll continue this at another time. In the meantime, I'm going to move on for the remaining parts of the news. We're going to talk a little bit about comics. Marvel Unlimited, Ferris, our buddy, will like this, is that they are offering Marvel Unlimited for 1 month access for a penny at Comic-Con.
Woo!
Yes, I actually just got an email about this right before we started recording, too. So, in honor of Comic-Con, Marvel Unlimited is offering a deal where when you go to the Marvel Unlimited website, click on Start Now, either sign into your Marvel account or create one, go to the checkout page and use the promo code Penny, P-E-N-N-Y, and you get this month's subscription for a penny.
Awesome.
Look, a penny.
Then you're back to the $10 a month.
Which
after
is still
that.
Not a $10.
Which is still not bad for all of the comics, but
all
yeah.
Of it.
But this month, one penny.
Awesome. And then we also have posters and air dates and stuff released for the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon, which was coming out.
Yes.
This looks fun.
I know.
I like cartoons, and this looks relaxing. I can totally watch that when I wake up in the morning in front of my coffee.
Yeah, it's set to air on September 26th, but there will be a sneak peek on September 5th on Disney XD. And every Saturday evening in August, Disney will play 2-minute shorts of each Guardian's origin story, which I'm pretty sure will probably end up on YouTube. So I guess you don't have to stay glued to your TV for the 2 minutes that it'll be there.
You know why I'm hopeful about this series? It's because they did so much a good job with Star Wars Rebel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rebel is so amazing. And this series, Guardians of the Galaxy, the way they translated it into the movies could make an amazing space cartoon. So if they follow that kind of model, that could be great. But don't go manga cheesy. Please don't go manga cheesy.
I don't think they will because I'm thinking about this right, about what they're trying to do. They have kind of a unified universe for their animated series too, which is the main reason why they canceled Spectacular Spider-Man and Earth's Mightiest Heroes. So this is probably going to take place in the same universe as Avengers Assemble and Ultimate Spider-Man. So if you're looking at animation style, it's probably going to be more in the lines of those in terms of writing and stuff like that.
Mm.
I remember the days when you had a sequel that was traced on VHS. And that was kind of crap.
They still have those, but
now we have universe.
Straight to streaming now. But isn't Disney XD the sole reason that Beef kept cable in his home rather than cutting the cord?
Yeah, because of Star Wars.
You know they have an app.
Yeah, now we know. But there was another reason after that. There was another show. It was like, oh no.
Orphan Black or something like that.
Orphan Black.
Oh, I thought you meant on Disney XD. And I was like, yeah, Orphan Black's not on Disney.
Right.
Yes, Orphan Black on Disney XD. That's perfectly suitable for children.
Okay, so Adam told us earlier this year that this was S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 50th anniversary, which Lauren and I did not know, but of course, Haley knew because she was reading the comics from 50 years ago, and she knew. But
yes.
The rest of us didn't know.
Shut it, Wing.
In what year are you now?
I'm still in 71, because I haven't had as much time for reading since I started producing podcasts.
It does take time, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Anyway, Peggy Carter and Quake are going to have S.H.I.E.L.D. anniversary covers.
Yeah, I think Adam described them some in his Marvel Minute. So the Peggy Carter one, it has her wearing blue dress from the pilot. There's the hat, couple of guns, her ID, Carter, Margaret, Agent 13. So, and then it has, I love this, just the outfit changes color and sunlight sticker and includes Build-A-Figure, part 2, right arm, Deathlok, which if you've ever bought a Marvel action figure lately, they always have that Build-A-Figure thing so that you could buy the whole set.
Yes.
And the Daisy Johnson one. Oh, that one's for the Agent Carter S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th anniversary number one issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the one for Quake, which is Quake S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th anniversary number one, is Daisy Johnson, a.k.a. Quake.
Not a fan of the haircut.
Yeah, it's the short actual comics haircut. She's wearing the S.H.I.E.L.D. outfit. She has the gauntlets with the switch-out arms, some guns, a laptop, and the left leg of Deathlok.
The left leg of Deathlok.
Gotta do that.
Yeah.
I need that guy's leg.
It's important. It's important.
It's important to me.
Awesome. That wraps up the news. But before we leave this segment, just want to tip our hats a little bit to another producer that we have on the podcast. It's not Haley or myself. It's John D. Yes, that's right. Nightwing, or Wing, as we call him. He does this little podcast called Legends Podcast. And the latest promo that I have in the network promo bin for Legends is episode 237, the iconic Spring Breakers podcast. Wing, why don't you tell us a little bit about Spring Breakers?
Well, there's a reason why it's said there, because it's still worth talking about. I mean, you're more like the contemporary Scarface, and you're like, oh, that's going to be interesting. And there's all this misogynist crap on the cover. So you're like, okay, at least maybe. Oh, dear God. That was an experience. And this is the first movie that didn't get into the legend scale, but changed it a little bit. So if you want to know what the definition of a Spring Breaker movie now is, go check the episode 237.
Go check it out on the Legends Podcast stream. You can also find it at gunnageek.com. All right, we're going to get into some feedback here. I want to especially thank people like Richard, who goes by at Kodiak GWC on Twitter, and our very own Mr. at Mr. Paracletes. They have been giving us a lot of tweets into news stories and stuff, keeping us informed, which is great because this summer, unfortunately, is just an abhorrently busy time for me. I have no idea. It's like the conflux of like 10 hurricanes for me, but we're muddling through it. And in the process, thank you very much for keeping us informed of things like, for instance, the electric casting. I learned about that on Twitter. Yes. So thank you very much, everybody that tweeted Carolyn. But I want to point out a couple of tweets in specifically at Sci-Fi Girl, my co-host on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., caught up to the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, and she got a little irate about the whole Simmons and the artifact deal, and she's like, seriously? Who keeps an alien blob in a glass box? That's just bad security.
Now you feel my pain.
Do you?
So thank you for catching up and enjoy your new microphone you got for catching up too. And oh, by the way, enjoy the incredibly great show of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not a bad show, not at all. Okay, our next tweet, I have issues with it. Cody at player type zero tweeted us and he said, I absolutely hated the characteristic. Hate it. Worst aspect character storyline of the show to me. Really?
Well, I agree he's a dick, but I don't think he's a terrible character aspect of the storyline, everything.
Okay, so you agree that it would be like an Umbridge or a Kai Winn sort of character where you would really love to hate, but it's well-written?
I don't hate him. I just think he's a dick.
Okay.
Yeah, but he helps build the character, so I'm okay with it. And I like it when he's a dick.
I'm just like, that guy's a dick.
So would you say Cody is objectively wrong?
He's entitled to his opinion. He's not wrong, but I don't agree with him.
I will say he's wrong about worst aspect character storyline of the show to me, but
yeah,
I could see how people would hate Stick.
Okay, fair enough.
See, now if he said he'd hated Claire, then he'd be objectively wrong.
Then we'd have
wrong.
To fight.
We would have to fight.
Ready, fight. What's that Tekken? I can't remember.
Keep thinking of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, it's Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
I think so.
Get over here.
Okay, back to my Voices of Defiance co-host at Sci-Fi Girl tweeted us with a lovely picture. She said, I'm in love with a beautiful captain. Did you see this picture?
I love this
that
picture.
That is an amazing picture.
I love that picture. And you know what? I would pay to have that costume. That's great. I wouldn't wear
it,
of course.
Are you
going to wear it? No, but it's pretty cool. So, like I said, we got a bunch of other tweets
by the way, the picture is Peggy Carter in the Cap costume, and it is amazing.
It's the best.
It is. So go to Sci-Fi Girl's tweet thread, whatever it's called, and you can find this picture, or you could check it out in the show notes. It will be there. Had a bunch of tweets about the electric casting, so thank you very much. But one in particular was Ferris, and he tweeted the Electra actress in action. So you can check out that YouTube link in the show notes. And then finally, Haley's co-host on Gallifrey Public Radio, Kier, tweeted the Years of Future Past number one.
It has been vandalized.
Just a little bit. It's funny.
Years of Googly Past.
So thank you very much for continuing to interact with us. We still do have a voicemail line open. I have not changed it. It's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. You can give us a ring as we continue our Daredevil watch. If you want to let us know what you thought about Ant-Man or as we're getting ready for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show this fall, and Jessica Jones, whenever it actually airs. We're still guessing December, unless we hear differently.
Yeah, or if you have any thoughts or opinions to share about comics, old or new, we would love to hear those as well.
If you want to get feedback to Adam or Neil, they would love to hear back from you too. So go ahead, hit us up for that. All right, you guys ready to walk this out?
Yep.
Yep.
Yay, the happy walkout music. So, what we've got is we've got Ant-Man in...
the comic book legends music.
You know, I had no idea that that was a comic book legends bump. I didn't. I downloaded it from incompetech.com. I made it my own. And then you tweeted me and said, hey, thanks for stealing my bump. I was like, I didn't steal it. I made it. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's actually originally made from the incompetent file. I didn't just steal it from Wing, but yeah, okay, there you go.
It's okay. That show has been canceled anyway.
Wing stole it first.
Yes.
There you go. Anyway, in 10 days, we have Ant-Man. Come join us for that. After that, we'll be back in a week and a half talking more Daredevil on the 29th, I believe, of July. Is that right, ladies? 29th of July, I believe that's what's in our show planning doc. So we will continue with that and we will continue our round of guests. But unfortunately, this is the one and only time we get to talk to Wing. So thank you very much for showing up for Stick. We really appreciate you coming on board.
Thank you for having me.
It's actually the second episode that you've been on. You actually stepped in for Haley a few weeks ago, but
that's true.
Yeah. So, well, thank you very much. And we enjoy having you on whenever you can.
Thank you.
Again, we have the voicemail line. We have a website. You know, we're part of a network. Just go to gunnageek.com. You'll find all the great podcasts there, all the great ways to contact us. And you can always tell me I'm wrong, because apparently everybody likes to do that. So go ahead.
That is true.
Yep,
that's true. That is good sport.
You should try it.
Yeah. You know what's fun to me is if you ask science questions, because I really like to discuss the science of comic books, the science of sci-fi. I really enjoy that. But anyway, thank you to everybody in the chat room. We really appreciate you stopping by. We do this show live for you and for you to interact with us. We really appreciate that. So thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for everybody on Twitter, the people who send us links, the people who show up for live tweets, the people who retweet stuff that we say, who retweet our alerts that we're about to record.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you.
Thank you to that train for coming in right as we're trying to end the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you to my cats who ran by screaming earlier tonight.
Thank you to everybody that's been liking our clamors. You can listen, if you don't have an iOS device, you can listen to them by paying attention to our Twitter feed. I will post all the links to them there at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Couple of day I try to do. I'm trying to catch up. They are a few weeks behind. But enjoy, if you like them, that ups our standing in Clamor. So that's more people that can find us and more people that will interact with us. So
more people.
We're just
more
doing this for fun.
I want fans.
I want to have more fun.
True.
I want to have more money.
Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all?
I want more cats.
Yay.
No. Cats. Aren't we just like listing stuff we want at this point?
I want a boat.
I want more Star Wars.
Ooh, good one. Good one. All right. Until next time, where we get everything that we want. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Constantine Wing.
Bye. See you guys in a week and a half.
Bye.
Later.
Adios.
People actually like you talking Spanish, Wing.
Because the missing H's make more sense.
That's true.
Una jalapeno.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
trying to write this stupid article on sex robots, and I can't figure out how to start it. Every line, every opening line I'm trying to write just sounds like...
Can you freck it? Cody hated Stick. We're just going to have to stick it to him.
I see what you did there.
I've been rewatching Star Wars. Star Wars.
Well,
I don't care what people say. Episode 3 is so good.
Yes.
I think the only thing I really hate from this movie is the buzz droid at the start. The rest, I'm good with it. So.
My problem with episode 3 is the wooden acting from the lead.
Oh, I gave up on that. When you look at the other movies, the acting's not that great either. So.
Natalie Portman got worse, though, as the movies went on.
So yes, there's like this whole storyline that they abandoned that I wish they had kept in. And it was like the twins, midichlorians, because like, you know, like the whole if the baby has a different RH factor than the mother, like if the babies are RH positive and the mother's RH negative, the mother starts to have like some sort of horrible reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with this, it's the babies have midichlorians and the mother doesn't. So she starts to have all these like weird force things happening to her. And they just dropped that completely, but you could still find concept art for it in the art books.
That would have been great.
Right?
It would have been great if that is what killed her instead of, you know, being sad.
Yeah. Or if they had kept the stuff in about her helping to found the rebellion, or just freaking anything that had her being like a character that did.
Anyway, I hate people. Which comes back to why I talk to my internet friend, because I hate people.
Yes, your one internet friend. Who is that, by the way?
I don't know. Huh?
And Haley.
What?
Is just finishing up the episode.
Shh. Everybody be quiet so Haley can finish the episode.
I had to double check to make sure that I linked the GIF that I meant and not the sex doll video that I tried out. I had to double check to make sure that I linked the GIF that I meant and not the sex doll video that I tried out.
Look, a penny.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.